Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Holy Comforter, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather this morning on the precipice of Christmas, the atmosphere thick with anticipation. In fact, in a unique circumstance, we find ourselves reflecting on the fourth Sunday of Advent, on the very Sunday we will, hours from now, celebrate Christmas Eve and move into the season of Christmastide. Father Michael told me this morning this is the seventh time that this has happened since 1975, so it's a rarity. Carols fill our ears, or if you're me, a healthy mix of carols sung by the highest order of choirs and the well-beloved anthems of Christmases past, sung by Wham, Band-Aid, Ray Charles, Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie, Bing Crosby, and of course, Mariah Carey. Bright and brilliant decorations adorn our homes, and the scent of pine mingled with gingerbread spice hangs heavy in the air. Yet amidst the festive frenzy, a deeper longing stirs within our hearts. We yearn for something beyond the tinsel and the twinkling lights, something that speaks to the profound ache within us, the echo of hope deferred. Today, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Gospel of Luke whispers a promise into our expectant ears, the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. The prophet Isaiah had foretold it centuries ago, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This is the heart of Advent, the arrival of Emmanuel, God not in a distant heaven, but here amidst our laughter and tears, our joys and our sorrows. He who in cosmic power and glory spoke us into being hurls himself to earth to be conceived, carried, and fortified by a girl, who by all accounts was no more than a child. He enters our world not in power and glory, but in humility and vulnerability. As I began to ponder my sermon this week, I became unable to focus on anything else but the upside downness of the arrival of God on earth in a woman's womb. And not to put too fine a point on it, because God is not a point to be made, but God came to rest in a woman. Someone with little or no authority over her personhood. Someone who would probably not be believed if asked to share the story of the child she carries. Someone without agency. Why would God do this? What does it mean? While I was in the midst of trying to wrap my brain around this conundrum, as I do every single year, a friend of mine sent me a poem that I'd like to share with you now. It is entitled Gabriel's Annunciation, and it is authored by Jan Richardson. For a moment, I hesitated on the threshold. For the space of a breath, I paused, unwilling to disturb her last ordinary moment, knowing that the next step would cleave her life, that this day would slice her story in two, dividing all the days before from all the ones to come. The artist would later depict the scene, Mary dazzled by the archangel, her head bowed in humble assent, awed by the messenger who condescended to leave paradise to bestow such an honor upon a woman and a mortal. Yet I tell you, it was I who was dazzled. I who found myself agape when I came upon her, reading at the loom in the kitchen? I cannot now recall, only that the woman before me, blessed and full of grace, long before I called her so, shimmered with how completely she inhabited herself, inhabited the space around her, inhabited the moment that hung between us. I wanted to save her from what I had been sent to say. Yet when the time came, when I had stammered through the invitation, history would of course not record the sweat on my brow, the pounding of my heart, would not note that I said, "Do not be afraid," to myself as much as to her. It was she who saved me, her first deliverance, her let it be, not just a declaration to the divine, but a word of solace, of soothing, of benediction. For the angel in the doorway who would hesitate one last time, just for the space of a breath, torn from his chest, before wrenching himself away from her radiant consent, her beautiful and awful yes. Why, we might ask, does God choose such a humble entrance? Why not descend in a dazzling display of power, announcing his arrival with trumpets and thunder? Perhaps it is the honesty of it. Here I am, Word made flesh, with you. With you. No pretense, no supposition, no exhortations, save a few. It is simply the arrival of an extraordinary child in the most normal way. Perhaps it is because in our human weakness, we are most receptive to love that is gentle and tender, a love that meets us where we are in our messiness and our brokenness. The arrival of Emmanuel is not just a historical event, a distant memory from a dusty Bethlehem stable. It is present reality, a promise that echoes through the ages and into our own lives. God is with us in the quiet moments of prayer, in the laughter shared with loved ones, in the tears shed for those we've lost. He is with us in the struggles we face, in the burdens we carry, in the fears that grip us in the darkness. But how do we truly experience this God with us? How do we open our hearts to the reality of Emmanuel in our midst? It starts with a willingness to surrender, to let go of our need for control and our self-sufficiency. It means acknowledging our vulnerability, our need for God's grace and love. It means stepping out of the shadows and into the light, into the embrace of the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. It means, for better or worse, that when we are called by God, we answer. We always answer. We answer because we keep and kindle the words of Mary in our hearts. Let it be. Do not be afraid of the yes, my friends. Shout it from the rooftops. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes, I surrender to you. I share my deepest desires and longings with you. I love you. Now imagine Jesus saying those exact words back to you. I surrender to you. I share my deepest desires and longings with you. I love you. This is why God had to turn the world upside down, had to irrevocably insert God's self into the fabric of our being for infinity, so that we would know and understand these words to be true and to feel God's life-giving love in all the world, in all that we do, and in turn reciprocate the love given to us through the heart of a child. Let us not get lost in the flurry of activities these next few days. I know it'll be hard, but let us try. Let us quiet our hearts and listen for the whisper of Emmanuel in the stillness. Let us seek him not in the opulent displays of the world, but in the crèche of our own hearts. Let us open our lives to the transformative power of his presence, allowing him to be the radiant light that guides us through the darkness, the rich hope that rekindles our weary spirits, the unconquerable love that mends our brokenness, the upside-downness that shows us God is never and always exactly who we expect God to be. In the indomitable spirit of Isaiah's prophecy, let us declare, "The Lord is with us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." May this day and every day thereafter be a celebration of Emmanuel's arrival and a testament to the unwavering and unconditional love of God who chose to be one with us now and forevermore. Amen.